Welcome to the Strength Talking Shop podcast. I'm your host, Matt Smith. We talk all things strength, coaching, fitness, nutrition, powerlifting, strongman. If it involves a barbell, we're going to talk about it. We are presented by Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and Gold Standard's best-selling 100% whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold Standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different items such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as their crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. If this is something that you're interested in getting into your facility, reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Down in the show notes, he's got his email. Dave and the team at Optimum Nutrition Athletics are absolutely amazing. They'll get everything that you need. I use their products every single day. I use the Gold Standard 100% whey for my post-workouts, if I need something quick for protein on the go throughout the day. And also, if I need to grab a snack, I'll just grab one of the almonds, some of the cake bites, and then also the crisps. Absolutely love the crisps and the almonds. So make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, and thank you for being our sponsor. What's up, guys? Strength Talking Shop podcast. I got the powerful Coach Matt Walker here. He's a performance coach with Future. He's also the head strength and conditioning coach at Haddonfield Memorial High School in Haddonfield, New Jersey. Former Division I director at Coppin State. What's going on, Matt?
How are you today, Maddie? How are we feeling?
We're doing pretty good. We chatted, obviously, before the podcast, and we've been cracking jokes, obviously connected really well. I'm very excited to have you on here. Can you kind of talk to me? What's going on, man? You're working at Future, also working with the high school and stuff like that. What's life been like?
Yeah, so life's been pretty crazy over the last year and a half. You know, obviously, COVID has impacted a lot of strength and conditioning facilities, you know, from the Division I level all the way down to the private sector. So, you know, working at Coppin during the COVID year of 2020 to about March of 2021 was, you know, a struggle. You know, I think a lot of us struggled running a one-man show with 250 athletes. Became a little difficult. You know, talked to a couple people who got out of the college game around the same time. Talked to me a little bit about this Future Fit app. And I said, man, that sounds a little too good to be true. Started doing my research, you know, reached out to a couple of the people that I knew who were there. And next thing you know, in April, boom, started up with Future. So at Future, I'm what's called a performance coach, where you're an online personal trainer, an online strength coach. And I think they are the future of where fitness is going. I think it's it's not a one size fits all program. It's based off of all your personal needs and wants and goals, limitations, all that good stuff. We sit down with every client. We go over, you know, everything during a FaceTime call, just like kind of what we're doing today. And, you know, we figure out what the best program is for them. And again, you know, I thought the transition from the floor in the college weight room to, you know, hit standing behind a computer all day would have been tough. But at the end of the day, I realized I'm still helping a ton of people. And that's why I got into coaching, is to make a difference in making people feel better, move better, look better. Right. And then there was a couple months where I got a little stale and, you know, I saw that this position had opened up at this high school, you know, across the bridge over in Jersey. And I said, you know what, here's a great opportunity. I've always looked at the high school sector to be an underlooked area in strength and conditioning. Being at the college level for so long, you see a bunch of kids who have gone to private sector facilities and stuff like that, or even have had zero experience with strength and conditioning. And you're like, whoa, what we need to do better at that next level. All right. Right. We need to find somebody who's in a weight room in high school, really making a difference. And when I was given the opportunity to take that job, I said, you know what, hey, this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to make that, that program the best in the state of New Jersey, the best on the Eastern Seaboard, and then eventually, hopefully, the best in the nation. And I know there's a lot of high school strength coaches out there right now listening to this, but I'm coming, man. I'm coming. I'm making Haddonfield the number one. So,
love it. I love it. What are some of the big rocks that you have found to be successful in the high school realm? I know personally, when I left college and I helped out with some high school stuff, it was kind of a – it was just really – it was a lot different, in my opinion, just because you had to really, really focus on that technique, focus on certain big rocks that you have. What have you found to be successful?
Yeah, so the number one thing about this little program is, you know, fortunately, before me coming in, they renovated the weight room. They made it huge, right? They did everything right before this position opened up. So, you know, before – what they were telling me what the weight room looked like before, I don't think my system could have worked. I would have had to probably scale everything back and really try to make things work. But they renovated, they put 150K into it, all brand new Cybex equipment. You know, it's two floors. We got an upstairs mezzanine for like ergs and stuff like that for our crew team. You know, so like the facility is just out of control. So usually a lot of people think that like when you get to another facility, it's always going to be, you know, equipment is a limitation. Size of the room is a limitation, where for me, I'm like, holy smokes, this is bigger than even the room that I was at Coppin, even at the room I was at Arcadia. So I'm like, okay, so that's not going to be a limitation. What's going to be the biggest obstacle right now? And I think it's, to me, I think it's looking back now and realizing that the youngest kid in the room is 14.
Right.
Whereas before, the youngest kid in the room was 18. And that four-year difference really makes an impact on movement patterns. So for me, I really think it is trying to scale back and really just try to go into, you know, I'm a big, big, big believer in the Joe Ken block zero. So I've been running literally block zero since I was my first day there. Like, and we're seeing a lot of progress, but it's still not enough to jump into some of the bigger movements yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, being there since September, October, November, December, you're right. I'm 4 months in basically. And yeah. Hey, I have no problems really slow cooking this.
Yeah.
You know, because again, I'm not worried about this year. I'll worry about it maybe in 2 years, 3 years. So again, I think the biggest obstacle right now is just seeing the differences in movement patterns in these kids at 14, 15, 16 versus 18, 19, 20. But again, once you kind of dive into, you know, what's happening with this, you're okay. You know, you figure it out and you get going.
I think a big thing with it being so kind of fresh still within the first 4 months, it's like you're still trying to build that relationship. You're still trying to build that rapport and that communication line, right? That takes time. That's not something that comes overnight. They need to understand where you're coming from, and you need to understand where they're coming from, so all ends can meet, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and that you know, that really, really, really hits home because, again, you know, yeah, going from the college sector, you know, you're in the trenches with these kids daily. Like, they come into the weight room because they have a free 25 minutes before they got to go to study hall. Yeah. Right. Whereas me, I'm only there after school between the hours of 3 and 5. So really the only times for them to see me is during that time. So I have to do the best job that I can to really make an impact on them during that hour that they're with me. And again, I think what that is, you know, and we talked about it earlier, was, you know, feeling the energy of the room. You know, are these kids coming in? Are they fired up to be here today? Because if they're not, that means I got to turn it up a little bit. I got to get these kids wanting to really be here and focusing on, you know, what the end goal of this day actually is, right? And again, you know, for me, I've always lived by a quote, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And, you know, even at that level at high school, man, my job is to know that I care about these kids and know that every day that I'm in there, I'm here to help them become better athletes. But not only just that, I want these kids to know that in the next 4 years, those 4 years matter the next 40. right? And I want them to look back and be like, man, I had a really, really good strength coach that taught me a lot of life lessons, not just how to squat heavy, deadlift heavy, and just get big, big biceps, right? I want to teach these kids so much about what the next 4 years looks like.
Exactly.
Because again, that's, I think, what was one of the biggest obstacles is like in the college sector is you got kids who are coming in and they don't know what to expect. You know, what does a college weight room look like? What does a college weight program look like? Right. Now these kids are going to know. These kids are going to know what the next level looks like. And they're going to be so prepared for that, that those are going to be the ones that will end up being all conference, all region, all American by freshman, sophomore, junior year, right? Like they're not going to take that time to develop. They're going to be ready instantly. And that's, you know, kind of a goal of mine there.
Well, because they're going to be a step forward than all those other kids that are coming in, right? And yeah. even if they don't even go on to play college athletics, I think of just like you said, from a 40-year standpoint, right? They know how to properly hip hinge. Yeah. That's low back problems when they get older, right? They know how to carry, you know, all those little things. But then you kind of flip that over to with future too as well with your clients, like being able to help them out in their goal setting and everything like that. I mean, huge, man. Like you're going to be giving them all the education they need, moving them forward in the right direction. Like it all balances itself out, in my opinion, to where you're giving everybody a leg up towards the future of what they want to do and where their goals are at and everything like that. I mean, there's so many times where we sit back and we think, oh, maybe I'm not doing enough. Man, if you just do a little bit, right, it can crank it up a lot to where you're helping 10, 15 years down the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I like that. And I like that. I think a lot of people try to look at that big picture a lot of the times when really you just got to look at that one day at a time. Yeah. Right? What did I do today to make a difference for tomorrow? Because again, I think the snowball effect is huge here in the performance game. And again, whether it is with actual movement patterns or athletic ability or just learning something today, exactly. Learning something today and applying it for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, man, that's huge, Matty. That's huge.
I love that you talked about the caring side of it, right? Nobody knows how much you care until you show them how much they care. And I'm sure you would see that also with your performance coaching at future as well. Like if your clients can see that, like, oh, this person's just kind of going through the motions, whatever thing, like they're going to find someone else. Right. Yeah. Same as with like with a college athlete or a high school athlete, if they see that you don't care, like they're going to go off and you always hear those horror stories, right? Kid goes up to the rec and he starts maxing out on bench press. And then the sport coach gets mad because they're getting hurt. Right. So it's all about building that relationship. I think that's probably one of the biggest things that people overlook is like they get lost in the sets, the reps, the this, that. It's like, how are they communicating with you? Are they laying on the ground? Like you hear Buddy Morris talk about this all the time. Are they laying on the ground lethargic and you've got max effort squats built up? It's like, maybe you should probably change your workout around. Maybe you should start asking some questions to your athlete, right? Or your client, whoever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, I think that's one of the coolest things about the Future app is, you know, we use RPE a lot on the Future app. So that does gauge a little bit about how the workout was and whatnot, but it is a little bit more difficult because we're not in person, right? I can't go up to you and be like, yo, how you feel today?
Yeah.
How's up here? How's in here? Right. Like, I don't care about how your muscles feel for the day. Like, I know how your muscles should feel. You should be a little tight, right? We just did 250 hamstring curls, banded hamstring curls, right? We were on a repetition lower body day, right? Hey, yo, Louis says, man, 250 ham curls, we're good, right? No injuries there. So
real quick, know. That had brought up my, I'm not joking. That brought up my deadlift, like legitimately like 50 pounds, adding that in for a month. I'm not kidding.
I know it's wild. It's wild, but it also has decreased probably a lot of our soft tissue injuries at the college level and the high school level right now. None. By almost 30%. Like it's so wild that like something like that. So basic, but you know, so I don't have that personal one-on-one time with these clients. It's through text messaging. It's through videos. But during our one-on-one, like first-time strategy calls, I let them know, yo, honest to God, if you need me, say something.
Yeah.
Let me know, right? I'm not here to constantly just beat you up. I'm here to make you better. I'm here to reach your goals. You know, so I think trying to build a relationship via the internet platform based, yeah, right? Software is really, really difficult. But again, I think you let them know that you care enough about them, right? You know, ask about their kids, ask about their day. Like literally every morning, all I do is just ask about what they did for that day.
Yeah.
The previous day. Like, what'd you do today? What do you got going on today? I don't care about the sets and reps today. I know you got to work out. You're going to crush it as usual, but talk to me a little bit about like what you guys do on a day-to-day basis. And then same thing with my kids at the high school. These kids come in right after school. And the first thing I ask, what'd you learn today?
Love it.
Right. And they're like, well, what the heck? That's what my mom and dad ask. Okay. Mom and dad truly want to know because they care about you. Guess what? Coach Walker wants to know because I truly care about you. What'd you learn today? Tell me something fascinating, you know? And maybe you didn't learn anything today. Maybe it was a lot of reviews. I said, but guess what? I want you to take away something today, right? In this weight room, I'm going to teach you something, whether it's physics, because I'm a conjugate guy and that's what we run, right? It's all force equals mass times acceleration, right? Or is it a life lesson? You know, is it something about pushing through and perseverance and grit, right? You know, there's some days where it's tougher than others. So again, you know, it's always trying to teach, always trying to get the kids to learn and the clients to learn.
That's where I think it takes such a deeper meaning, becoming a strength coach. We had talked before the podcast, like if you get into strength conditioning just because you like to lift weights, like you're not going to be lasting long, right? Because this is a service industry. You are here to serve others. And the fact that you talked about that, man, is just so powerful because you don't know what's going on behind closed doors at somebody's house, right? They could be having a hell of a time. We obviously know 2020 was awful for a lot of people. It's still awful for a lot of people, right? We don't know what's going on, but if you can be that one beam of light to help them forward, boom, that's everything, right? The sets and the reps, they'll take care of themselves, in my opinion. But you should not always just be about the weights lifted. You should be more about the psychology of things, right? You know, Matt Rhodes talks about it best. Sets and reps are 10% of the job. Everything else is talking to sport coaches and everything else like that, right? You know, so what have you kind of found to be successful over the time of your career training athletes, though, whether that be athletes, anybody, what have you found to be successful? You talked about conjugate a little bit there.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the collegiate sector, I ran a lot of conjugate work. I think it just, especially at where I was last at Coppin, our room was kind of set up pretty nice for it. We can get, you know, we were able to get, you know, bands and chains on some things, you know, get some accommodating resistance, because, you know, we didn't have a ton of equipment. So there was just a great opportunity to use all the bands, all the chains for a lot of the repetition effort type stuff. So, you know, and then again, the one thing that I took away from, you know, listening to Coach Harvey, listening to Louie, listening to, you know, a lot of these conjugate guys over the past couple of years is that you don't even need to use a max effort day. You know, you can just straight up use the dynamic effort with some accommodating resistance and you're still going to get a pretty good stimulus and you're going to get great adaptation. And with the lower resistance, you're really teaching great technique on lifts. So like, once you kind of figured that out, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm getting, you know, again, nothing against, you know, the Coppin State University athletes, but you know, it's not the same athlete as University of Alabama or University of Miami, right? Like it just isn't, you know, it just isn't. So, you know, any chance where I can build strength and power via the dynamic effort method and still teach technique while doing so, I'm killing three birds with one stone there. And that's what I think the name of the game should be is how many qualities of strength and conditioning can you fit in to that 1 hour? And then that's kind of it, you know, and then whatever the accessory work is for the day is just icing. Right. It's just icing on the cake, you know? But yeah, I mean, shoot, man, I've used APREs. I've used, you know, just basic linear tier system. Like I've used so many different methods just trying to feel out what does work, what doesn't work, you know, how does it flow with the room and stuff like that. And, you know, I'll be the first to admit there's no 100% right answer. If you think that this is the end all be all, you know, we gotta do better, right? I think we gotta do better. You know, again, do I think I lean more conjugate-y? Sure. You know, I think it works really, really well at any level. If you understand the system, if you understand the methods, you know, and if you don't, reach out to the people that do. Right. Yeah. Reach out to Harvey. Right. Reach out to Nate. Shit, man. Reach out to Dave Tate. Yeah. You know, Dave will talk to you. Louie will talk to you. They'll talk to you. People think that they're Dave Tate. They're Louie Sim. Nah, man. You email them. You call them. They'll find a way. They'll talk.
Exactly.
They'll talk. That's what I love about this industry. That there are guys that are wanting to grow the field so much that they'll talk. And, you know, I think you said during our little pre-show, Chad Akes, right?
Yeah.
That dude's an animal.
Yeah.
Who would ever think to reach out to Chad like that? Yeah. Right? Not me. But why wouldn't I? He's lifted at Westside, right? He knows the system. If I want to get better at something, that's a guy that I should go talk to.
Exactly.
Right? You know, so –
Whatever you're trying to get better at, I think you just nailed it on the head. And this is why I was big in, like, when I was in the collegiate setting of, like, reaching out to the strength coaches in my area that I knew that were really good, right? If I want to learn more about conjugate, where do you think you should go? You should probably go to Westside Barbell or visit Lead FTS and visit Dave Tate, right? I think to me that's just, like, easy awareness. But these guys are the masters at that craft. Right? Brian Mann, APRE, right? I'm going to go reach out to Brian. Velocity-based training, I'm going to go reach out to Brian.
Yeah. You
know, if it was bodybuilding stuff, I'm going to go look up stuff, you know, for John Meadows, stuff like that, right? RIP, exactly. Like, to me, that's just so simple, but yet gets so lost. And, like, I think people get stuck in their gym or their weight room of, like, oh, yeah. No, I think I know what's better. It's like, no, like, maybe you don't. Like,
yeah.
Every time I visited or I've had a conversation with somebody on a podcast, I've learned something that I didn't know beforehand. And I remember I went to a CrossFit gym, no joke, one time. It's a CrossFit gym and people are like, oh, CrossFit, this. I stole about 3 or 4 things that I still use today as part of my warm-up. Yep. They're totally fine. Always be evolving, right?
Always
be evolving. What that means though is when you find something, has to be able, like, you have to take something out. You can't just constantly add, and then you're doing a 30-minute warm-up, and then you've got 15 exercises doing a workout. It doesn't work out that way. What I mean by it is, like, if it's going to be a little bit better than what I know now, all right, and I feel comfortable coaching it or doing it myself, then I'll move forward from there, right?
Yeah.
And so many people scrap everything, and then they add, and then it's just too much over time. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. You know, I think a lot of people get on the Instagrams and the YouTubes and they see this one exercise that is like, oh man, that's awesome. I think that's going to work. And then they get into it and they put it into people's programs. And then all of a sudden they're like, I didn't really like that.
Exactly.
Right. It's like, okay, maybe it didn't work that time, but you know, it is true, man. Like you gotta really just keep evolving, learning, right? Like I think one of the favorite things through my day is, you know, I talk with my boy Brandon Kuhn down at University of Miami, and I talk to my boy Mark Pryor, who's working under Mikhail Cahill, who's like, I don't know if you know who Cahill is, but he owns ATH down in like Houston and Dallas, Fort Worth and stuff like that. It's a private sector joint, but Cahill is like one of the leading PhDs right now in acceleration work with sleds.
Oh, okay. I'm right there.
And my buddy Mark is now getting his PhD, and his thesis right now is, I believe it's acceleration based in basketball, like transitional. Like, how much can you transition from a fast break D-cell to an A-cell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's really, he's just scratching the surface on it, but every single day, me, Brandon, and Mark, we're sending articles back and forth to one another, you know. And again, I'm terrible at acceleration work. So now I got Mark, who's going to be a freaking expert on it, right? And then my boy Brandon is an AFS guy, right? He's an applied functional science Gary Gray guy. So anything that I need from that modality, I'm reaching out to him. And then he's sending me over to Dom Walker at Northwestern because Dom's even better at the AFS stuff. And then eventually, you know, I reach out to, you know, Todd Wright, who's right underneath Gary Gray in the AFS systems, the Gray Institute. Like, and you just, you're learning and you're picking these guys' brains, and it just helps you out later in the long run. So again, like I said, man, just keep evolving, just keep growing, never stop learning in this field. It's once people think they know it, and then they get stuck. And then, as Louis says, to adapt is to die. But he's right. To adapt is to die, man. You got to evolve every single day, single day.
I 100% agree with that, man. It's important. The circle you just talked about, it is important to have that circle to where you can go and ask those questions. And I love that you guys share those articles back and forth, because to me, like, you're evolving, you're growing, but you're also building upon a relationship with other people that are doing exactly what you're doing, right? There are hundreds of thousands of people right now that are training other people, and they're all doing it different types of way, right? And we can all come together in this melting pot and add tools to our own toolbox, man. I think it's so important. And when you have that tight circle, you could reach out to your buddy or your friend and be like, hey, I'm running into this. Have you run into this before? Oh yeah, man. I ran through that brick wall several years ago. Here's how I got through that. Right. Yep. Plus two, there's going to be those times where we've all been there. You walk out of the weight room or you get done with the session, you're like, I'm the dumbest coach in the world. And they're the one to pick you up and be like, hey, man, like, it's just not that day. We're going to move forward, right?
Right. That's what we do. That's what me and my boys do. We'll literally come back and after the day and be like, I probably shouldn't have done that. And then they'll both just be like, well, it happened. Guess what? No one died. You're okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. Move on. Do better next time. Do better tomorrow, right? Like, and again, I think that just comes from, you know, being an athlete too, like having that short-term memory, like can't dwell on that. You know, you can't really dwell on that, because again, you start dwelling, you're not allowing yourself to grow. You're not allowing yourself to evolve. And again, that just comes back to that whole evolution type thing. So.
Oh, I like that you talked about that. Like, people, you hear that all the time. They get so stuck in the past of like, oh, this happened and that happened. It's like, well, what are you doing to make sure that doesn't happen again? How are you learning from that failure and that mistake? Like, too many times people just get lost in that and the past mistakes or past this or that. It's like, shoot, man, let's move forward. Like, how can we evolve and continue to move? And I hate to use the word level up because I feel like it's so drawn out, but seriously, level up. Like, how can we do that, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't understand that. And whether that's from whether you got to go read books, but you got to go out and meet people, or however you got to figure it out, like, sit down, get a pen and paper. That's one of my favorite things to do, is get a pen and paper out at night and just start mapping out things. Like, I want to be here. How can I get there? Right. What has happened in the past? And make like a SWOT analysis or whatever it is. Right. You need to have that map and drawn out plan on helping yourself forward so you can help others, in my opinion. I don't know.
No, dude, you're right on. You're right on. I think that's something that I need to start doing more of. You know, I'm more of a, you know, be where your feet are type guy.
Agree.
I'm going to attack what's given to me for the day, and then I'm going to adapt off of it. I'm very quick at making audibles. I think that was, you know, one of my biggest, you know, for me, especially playing sports, right? I'm a football guy. So I played center growing up, and then I just long snapped in college and stuff like that. But my coach saw that in me, and I was able to make audibles based off of what I saw, even before my quarterback, which was crazy to hear, right?
Wow, that is kind of crazy to hear.
If I saw that our play would be probably just absolutely blown up based off of the front and the system that they were, the defense that they were running, I would turn to my quarterback and be like, hey, XYZ here, right? Let's audible to red, audible to orange, whatever. And he would look at me and he would look and he'd go, yep, set. And we run. And, you know, same thing with, you know, being a long snapper in college. Like I saw a couple of times where our fake punt was there.
Execute. Boom.
45 yard touchdowns. Like
exactly.
It's there. And my coach was like, I give you that option to do that because you can see and establish what's going to happen faster than anybody. And again, I think that needs to be the number one quality of a strength coach. You know, if we're going to went into, you know, another little segment here, I think if you talk about characteristics of a strength coach, adaptability, number one, man, you got to be able to think so fast on your feet and have such a short-term memory.
Yeah, because what happens when the athlete comes in, right? Athlete comes in with something totally new, right? Let's say, like high school, you know, you're your high school kids, right? Let's say they went to the night before, they had a soccer practice that went until 8 o'clock at night. They didn't get home till 9:30. Then they had school all day, and now they've got to train with you. Okay? How are you going to be able to change the workout? Coach, my hamstrings are fried and you've got deadlifts program for the day. How can you adapt and change for that day?
Yeah. I mean, it happens. So they had my track team had a meet prep on Thursday and they were supposed to come in Thursday to lift. The coach came in. They're like, hey, we just did this meet prep. The meet's on Monday. You know, we did a simulated 4x4 where they broke it down into like a 200 and then two 100s, and those 100 beat were bouts were full out. They were full out 100s. These kids came in and I looked at them and I said, y'all aren't ready. I said, take the day, come back tomorrow. And the coach looked at me and he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, come back tomorrow. I said, these kids are going to be so lackadaisical. They're going to just be going through the motions because they're so scorched right now.
Yep.
I said, come back tomorrow. And what we did, we ended up doing was a little body tempering, right? Took some kettlebells out, took some barbells out because they were beat up. They were sore. Did a little bit of that, did a little stretching. Saturday, they came in on their own. I gave them a little pap block there with some resisted jumps, unresisted jumps, and then some assisted jumps, three sets of three each, and then a little gun show at the end. And then on Monday, those kids went out and they won a state championship.
Beautiful. I
don't think anything that I did during that time affected them, but I know that if we trained on that Thursday, there's no way they would have been able to give their 100.
But here's the thing, though. You could have let your ego sit above and said, I'm the strength coach. We're going to do this. This is what I've got written on the board. And then, boom, they go I always think of I love Jim Wendler talks about the ladder analogy. Is this going to help me walk up the ladder or is it going to help me fall down the ladder? You'd have had to maybe fall five rings down, whereas they maybe fell one.
Yep.
Or they went up one. That's where I think – that's where that dynamic you're talking about, adaptability, comes from. And that comes from a good coach.
Well, I can't say good coach, but I think that's a coach that's been punched in the mouth before.
True. That's very true, actually.
So if getting punched in the mouth and learning from that makes you a good coach, then, yeah, that's a good coach.
Yeah, that's true.
But, again, I mean, like you said, you got to be quick. You got to take your L's and you got to move on. And you know, maybe 10 years ago, I was that coach.
Yeah.
8 years ago, I was that coach. Like, you know what, coach? That's your fault for blowing these kids up. We got to lift today, right? And
it takes time. It takes time.
It does. But again, you should be ever growing. You should be learning from those mistakes. You can't dwell. You got to move on. And you just, again, like I said, if that makes you a good coach, then so be it. You know, but again, I just think that makes you a learner.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And that's what we all need to be. We need to be learners.
I 100% agree with that, man. You got to constantly be learning. But to kind of piggyback off, you talk about you played center, man. So I played center in high school too. I think it's so that I have some friends other played center, man. You talked about like the being able to call audibles and stuff like that.
In my experience playing center, dude, I had to know everything. You had to know all the protections. Mm-hmm. You had to know every single play. Dude, my guards, love them. My tackles, love them. Every play. What are we doing again? Come on, man. We ran this in practice all week. How do you not know?
My left guard and left tackle. The left guard was a starting center for the Dallas Cowboys, Phil Costa, for 5 years. Oof. And then my left tackle, his name was Dennis Landall. He was a 4-year starter at Penn State, first team all Big Ten, played with the Giants and the Jets for like 2 years. Dennis was smart, but still just kind of like needed to know. Yeah. Needed to know. So literally every time we're out on the line, I'm making every single call, whatever. But again, I think, you know, that just, they don't put you there unless they think you can do it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what coaching should be. Like, you should know where everybody needs to be at one time.
Exactly.
Like, especially when you're one person and 40 athletes in the room.
Big time. You should know every little movement that's going on inside of that room.
If I have a circuit, let's say I got three blocks, three exercises in each block, right? And I put you group one in one corner, group two in the other corner. I can look over at group three. And without even looking with eyes in the back of my head, I can be like, group one, your hinge, get better. Hey, hips back. They're like, coach, you didn't even see us. Yeah, but I know you should be on that lift right now. And I know that we had that problem last set. Let's correct it this set, right? So you're always just looking into the future. And again, like I said, man, that's just being adaptable, being able to adjust on the fly. And I think that's what creates a lot of burnout for some of these younger coaches is they're not quite there yet. And I don't know whether it's because, you know, maybe they just haven't played enough sports to realize that, or they weren't put in pressure situations, you know?
And that is a big one, in my opinion. Like that, I think that's where having a good internship program, a good grad assistant where you're under somebody that's good. Like, I was very blessed in the fact of like Joe would like say, here's the workout for the athletes. Oh wait, but this just happened. I need you to go do this. You know what I mean? Like, and you're like, oh shit, we have 30 seconds and I've got to do warmups.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, for me, when I was running at Coppin State, my interns, you coached.
Yeah.
You coached right away. Look, you're going to learn. If you fail, guess what? You're going to learn, right? You've read every growth mindset book in the world. Fail means first attempt at learning, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, I have no issues with you not succeeding your first couple days on the floor. I don't. One, we're not doing anything that's going to jeopardize an athlete.
Yeah.
Because the programming is set in stone, right? You know, and again, like you said, if so-and-so comes up to you and says, hey, coach, I can't do this XYZ today. Okay. Figure it out. Yeah. Right. They would come to me and they'd be like, coach, so-and-so. And I said, okay, it's your problem now. Figure it out. And they're like, what? And I'm like, dude, like they have a sore shoulder. Okay. They just can't do right arm overhead press today. They can't, let's go single arm all left side. Right. Like,
Let's problem solve a little bit here,
right? And then guess what we do? At the end of that session, we sit back down and we go over everything we did today.
Bingo.
And again, does that take an extra 15, 20 minutes? Sure. But does that extra 15, 20 minutes help the next 15, 20 weeks?
Oh, tremendously.
Right, 1,000%. You know, we just got better in 15 minutes to now help us with the next 15 days, 20 days, 15 weeks, whatever it may be.
I think this is from my coaching background, but every workout I do, I have a note section right next to my sheet. How did I feel? You know, I write down, how did the session go? And then as I prepare for my powerlifting meet, I can say, okay, what was my last meet prep like at this time frame? Well, maybe I'm a little ahead of schedule from taking those notes. And I wrote an article with Lead FTS where I talked about that is one of the most important things for a coach is writing notes down. Because if you don't write those notes down or even video it or something like that, how are you going to remember what worked and what didn't work?
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, shoot, man, at the bottom of all my programs, there's a block under each day. And the kids are like, coach, what's this white block for? said, write in it. That's your journal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that too. That's actually real. I like that too.
Yeah. I'm like, that's your journal. Write down, right? So if we're running APRE, you know, my blocks, I'm not very good at Excel. My blocks are really tiny. So we may not be able to fit a double digit in the block.
Yeah.
Hey, write it down there. And then tell me, was it hard? Was it easy? Right? Did you just get 15 reps at 265 on your squat? What was that? A 1, a 3, a 7, a 10? Right? What? Write it down. Right? Right? What that RP? I got some guys. They're some of my, we'll call them, right, Joe, you know, Joe DeFranco, right? Skinny bastards.
Yeah.
I got my skinny bastards. I want them to write down what they ate before they came in to work out.
Love it.
You know, yeah. What'd you eat today? Okay. And if I look and I don't see anything, that's alarming.
That's a conversation we need to have.
Conversation now, right? You know, and again, that's me going back to the caring part.
Yep.
It sounds like I'm harping on this kid, but really it's like, dude, I want you to get bigger. I want you to get stronger. You need to put on a little bit more mass to protect your body. You just came off of 3 injuries this year. And the reason you probably had these 3 injuries, not because you're small, because you're malnourished.
Yep.
Right? Let's figure that out, right? Now it becomes an intervention.
And I love the way that you talked about that too, though, is that you left it open-ended. It wasn't like, how many meals did you have? Well, they could write down they had 3, but they had a Pop-Tart, they had Twinkies, and they had a Gatorade, right? Whereas instead you were like, what did you eat today?
Yeah, because I've done meal journals with my athletes before, and like breakfast, lunch, snack, right? And you said, man, breakfast, granola bar, Pop-Tart. Dude, I used to have kids in the college sector, gushers for breakfast, right? Skittles, Baby Ruth. I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing?
Sheesh.
You know, so again, that's not a breakfast. I get that. But does a gusher have a little bit of an intra workout vibe to it? Yeah, sure. I mean, there's sugars. You know, there's some glycogen there that we can get down and use that for energy later on in the set, whatever, but it's not going to help us, right? There's really no other nutrients outside of that sugar, that carbohydrate. But, you know, again, like I said, it's open-ended, but it's also that opportunity to learn, right? I'm teaching this kid what they need to do to prepare.
Yep.
And again, they may not get it today. They may not get it tomorrow. Dude, they may not get it in a year. But if I know that I can get that in their head by the time they leave this high school and get ready for the next level, whether they're playing a sport or not, that's my mission. That's my goal as a coach.
They could go walk into an LA Fitness when they're 24 years old and remember, okay, Coach Walker back in high school taught me this. I didn't realize it until now. And then they can go in and figure it out on their own, right? Yeah. I think that is so invaluable as a coach, whether at high school, private sector, college. I think that's absolutely astronomical. Well, Coach, we're going to go and get you out of here as we wind down. But, man, it's been an awesome conversation. We've just been going and going and going. I love it.
I love that.
Me too, man. Well, we'll get you out of here on a couple last things real quick. First off, what are you grateful for?
Dude, honestly, I'm just grateful for the strength and conditioning industry, the field. I think as many people would probably say we're at each other's throats, I say we're not. I just think we're building still. Remember, right? We're only 35 years old.
Exactly.
Like, the industry is 35 years old, man. Yes, lifting weights have been around since the beginning of time. I get that, but as an industry, man, we're young. We're young. Look at the tech industry. It's still young, but they're at each other's throats, right? Yeah. iOS, Google, get over it. They both phones make phone calls, right?
Look at the iPhone though. I mean, I was talking to my wife about this. I'm like, tech, look at how crazy stuff like can happen. The iPhone came out, what, 2007, 2008? Look at it now in 2022. Like, it is insane.
Yeah. I mean, it's growing, it's evolving. Like I said, that's what we got to do. And again, I'm grateful for one, I'm grateful for the opportunity to just share. You know, I'm an open book. I love to just share where we need to be, what we need to do, how to evolve as an industry, as a person, as a coach, right? You know, I think, you know, those are things to be grateful for every single day. You know, and I just hope at one point we can all, you know, raise the white flag and just come together and, you know, be brothers and sisters in strength and just grow this field more and more every single day.
I love it, man. I couldn't agree with you more. If people want to follow you, reach out to you, how can they find you?
Yeah. So Instagram, MattWalker67_SC. And then at MattWalker67 on Twitter. And then I want to plug my boys just because without them, I wouldn't be here.
Yep.
So Mark Pryor, MarkPryer, that's his Instagram. Again, he's an up and coming, about to be a PhD, working on a ton of acceleration stuff. Going to be a game changer in the next 2 to 3 years, guys. All right. And then Brandon Kuhn down at University of Miami, BKUHN_coach. That's his Instagram. All right. You know, again, without him, I'm not here today. Honest to God, like without him, my coaching career is dead. Probably, you know, that dude resurrected my career, taught me so much. Can't thank him enough. But again, he's a big, big, big time culture guy. Very passionate about what he does. You know, and again, if you're looking to learn a little bit more about the applied functional science from the Gray Institute, that's a guy to reach out to, you know, way better than I am at it. So, you know, again, reach out to everybody that you can and just keep learning.
I love it. That's a great way to end it, man. We stand on the shoulders of giants, right? It's crazy. Well, Matt, I appreciate you so much for being on the podcast this week, man. It's been awesome being able to just learn and talk with you and stuff like that. So again, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Everybody, make sure you go follow Coach Walker, all of his crew and everybody. Look what they're doing over at Future. Look what he's doing over at Haddon Fields, and everybody stay strong.